Good morning, folks. We're going to have some continuing coverage in the aftermath of Hurricane Francine, but we're going to work in some other issues today as well on Friday the 13th, No Filter Friday. At 12:30, we'll visit with Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints, Saints and the Cowgirls out there at Jerry Jones World in Dallas, Texas, and we'll talk about that big matchup. Ron Fauché joins us at the top of the hour, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about the Trump-Harris debate for the first time, because obviously we had a little bit of a distraction. We'll visit with Helena Moreno in the back half of the 11 o'clock hour, New Orleans City Council President, for an update as to what's going on in the city. Mark Drews joins us just before that from Jefferson Parish. He is the Public Works Director there, and we'll get an update. We'll visit with the VP of Customer Service at Entergy Louisiana, Michelle Borg. We've talked to Michelle many, many times, and we'll get an update as it relates to the state of the state of the utility infrastructure. Bo Higgins we'll talk to. He's a race director of the 9/11 Heroes Run. That's going to be taking place tomorrow at Audubon Park. So if you want to get all that pent-up energy out from being inside during the entirety of this storm, this is an opportunity to do it, and do it for a good cause. The Heroes Run 9/11 out there, and we'll talk to Bo Higgins. And just before Bo is Fran Phoenix, she is the CLECO communication strategist for those folks out down in St. Mary Parish, down in the Bayou Country, as well as on the North Shore. They have a heavy representation of service up there on the North Shore as well, and we'll get an update as to where they stand. Our thoughts still go out to the folks that don't have power. Our folks still go out to the folks that don't have other services, whether that be internet or TV or otherwise. And obviously, I looked at the map first thing this morning. It seems as though a lot of progress made yesterday. And just as I suspected, I said after 2 p.m., I think you're going to start seeing a lot of folks coming back on. And between that window of 2 and 8 o'clock last evening, I was getting calls from folks all over the parish and throughout the city of New Orleans that their power was coming back on. And typically, you know, that's how this thing works. You're trying to put a large mass of people, some that work here, some that don't, together with safety at the forefront of everyone's mind. It takes a little bit of time. So we're excited for the folks that got their power back. And now that we've gone about and assessed the damage, it'll be interesting to see exactly the breadth and depth that this storm presented to us, because there was some really weird things about this storm. Just a couple of bands dumping so much water here and, for all intents and purposes, burying the system. I know we had a couple of pumps that went out, but the truth be told, I'm not certain that would have made a difference one way or the other, even if we were at 100% capacity. We'd love to hear from you this morning on No Filter Friday, 504-260-1870. We'll take calls as well. So there's a lot of issues going on, in the aftermath of the debate the other night. Still, folks been fact-checking what has been said. Interestingly, a lot of videos being uncovered where on both sides, Trump and Harris denied having said something, and then a video shows up where they said exactly what the other party said that they said. It's amazing that we allow folks to get away with that. It seemed as though the moderators were a little bit more prepared to fact-check Donald Trump than they were Kamala Harris. When we talked about the transgender surgeries, I reviewed a video last evening, an interview that she did on that subject matter, where that's exactly what she did. In fact, she boasted about it. She bragged about it, making sure that they had the same medical rights as everyone else, to include the surgery for transition. She said it. She owns it. When it's thrown out there, it's though this notion came from Mars. And she also made the observation on an ACLU questionnaire to candidates. I have filled out many of those questionnaires. When you run for office, a lot of organizations, before you go to a debate, They ask you to fill out a questionnaire on certain topics where you're not really fudging, you know, and diverting away from that, because you have to answer the questions. If you don't, they call you out on it when you show up to debate. You didn't answer the question. And, you know, it would be nice, and it doesn't look like we're going to have another debate, but it would be nice to have a debate where they actually would not allow candidates to deflect. You know, when they say, I will get to those three things, but first I want to say this. It should be like, no, the question is about the three things. We don't want to hear about your canned speech at this point in time. We want, in an extemporaneous landscape here, we want you to answer these three questions. So no, let's not come back to it. Let's start with it. And then if you have time left, you can talk about what you did when you were growing up in California, or, you know, what you did as a developer many, many years ago, or how many of this or how many of that. It doesn't matter. When the question's not about immigration, why are we talking about immigration? When the question's about other matters that are equally as important, why are we shifting? Because we have a level of discomfort on that issue and allowing them to talk about something else. It makes absolutely no sense at all. And when a candidate says what their position actually is, the only reason to fact check someone on that issue is if they said something contrary to it before, or they embraced a contrary position. And obviously the follow-up question would be, why? Why the change? That would be the most relevant, right? Especially if it's on big issues. And this goes to both candidates, because both candidates have modified positions. And it's like, sometimes they ask that question, other times they didn't. Mystifying, kind of a head scratcher. Why is that? Why would you allow that to go on? The problem is when you lose the dialogue in the immediate aftermath of asking the question, because of the construct of the debate and the limited time that you have, you never catch up. And that was evident from the very, very beginning. And it was evident as to who deployed a better strategy in order to accomplish same. And it worked. It was attempted by one candidate, but wasn't as successful as the other. And it was attempted by Donald Trump and wasn't as handled as successfully as Kamala Harris. But in the end, I've been getting texts all week long asking me about, you know, you're never going to say what you thought. So here it is. So that all of the naysayers about whether or not, you know, I try to look at this through a lens that makes sense and brings common sense forward. In my view, if I were to grade the folks that participated in this debate, it would be as follows. Donald Trump got an F. The moderators got a D, and Kamala Harris probably got a C+. And that's the way that I saw this whole thing. I go back to what I said early onset in advance of the first debate. If as a candidate, and both of these candidates really failed on this part, if you can't articulate your platform that you're putting forward for the general public to consider when they're assessing as to who they're going to vote for, if you're not the best person to articulate it, then you're not a good candidate. Plain and simple. This is based on your beliefs, your morals, your values, your ideology. You have had to have had some significant thought process going on about these topics. And if you haven't taken the time to master the response of these relative to these topics, shame on you. You don't deserve to win. You are what I call a less than candidate. Because you should be the individual that's able to articulate that better than anyone. Better than anyone. And if you really believe something, you should be willing to share it. And do less deflection, less evasion of answering the questions. It used to be that if you stood for something, you were proud to stand for it, right? If you're really not proud to stand for it, then you really don't believe that way. And I know we're always playing these numbers games. I never did that very well. I spoke from the heart and how I felt. And oftentimes had very combative press conferences as a result thereof. And was not shy in calling out the media and saying, that's a stupid question. I'm not answering it. Think about it. It's elementary. Where are you going with that? Isn't it obvious? Why would you spend time asking that question, right? The media has to do their homework as well in order to ask pertinent questions that are going to actually get us to a point where we're learning something each and every day and compelling these candidates to reveal themselves to the voting public. Because anything less than that, it's a waste of time. We wasted 90 minutes of our life for the most part because we really didn't hammer anybody down on where they were on particular issues. We allowed them to escape. We allowed them to sanitize themselves of their previous positions that they had on so many important issues and come out in a position completely, totally 180 contrary to where they were a dozen or two or three dozen months before. And to just simply say, well, I've been involved in governing, you know, for 3.5 years, and now my thoughts have changed. But have they really? Because if you look at some of the policies that they're still engaged in and still promoting, you will find that they really haven't changed, right? And in the fact check part of this, that's where I think the ABC moderators really, truly failed. They just discounted certain things. For example, that Trump had to say that actually in the aftermath have turned out to be true. There's videos all over the place of the vice president actually saying it. And the same thing, vice versa, with Donald Trump. It's a failure. Once again, they had the benefit of all the notes. They had the benefit of a binder. They had a benefit of knowing the questions. They also had a pretty good idea of what the responses were going to be. And therefore, that gave them the time necessary to do the research as to whether to put together a fact check section in their binder. So, you know, It's one of those situations where it just didn't work out, in my view, very well. And it didn't work out very well for Trump at all. He's not a good public speaker. I said from the first time he debated, he's not a good debater. He may be intimidating, but intimidating someone and being a good debater are completely different. There's one thing I know for sure. I've actually been to debate competitions as an audience member watching high school debate teams debate. I can promise you that had we provided high school debate teams the platform of both Vice President Kamala Harris, former President Donald Trump, and had them debate on ABC, it would have been much better. Much better. I can promise you they would have been more articulate. They would have been able to handle the questions that were posed in an extemporaneous way. Their responses would have been more organized, more to the point, and more on target. Of course, it wouldn't have been about trying to get votes, though, right? And that's where this whole thing is. And maybe Bernie Sanders was 100% correct and deadpan honest. That in the case of Kamala Harris, and this is not picking on her. I think this applies to all of the candidates that have been running for president over the last several cycles. They're just being pragmatic about what they're going to say and where they're going to stand in order to get elected. So they really don't. Or they're really not willing to reveal where they're ultimately going to be on any of these topics for certain. 504-260-1870. We'll have a little time later in the show as well to go to the talk lines, and we'll visit with Ron Fauchet to see what the polls are saying about the aftermath of the debate. I think there's roughly 40-something or right at 50-something days left before the election. So it's getting close. A lot of states will be voting, some starting, I believe, this weekend and some next week and some the following week with mail-in ballots and the like. And so the election is on. Things are moving forward, and it will be interesting to see how this plays out, what the bump is in the aftermath of the debate, and whether or not they've been able to pinpoint that number. There's been a lot of push and pull back and forth relative to the debate, the performance, ABC moderators, Democratic consultants, Mark Penn, Mr. Shane from the former Democratic group of Shane Penn. Actually, they did work for me as a Republican. I decided to ask them to do some of the analysis in the consideration of a race that I was thinking about, because I wanted to know from a Democrat perspective what they thought about a Republican's chance to win in this particular race. So I know both of the gentlemen have met both of the gentlemen, have spoken with both of the gentlemen. They're saying that there should be an audit of what was done by the debate moderators, which I read that article this morning because we've been focused on Francine. It blew me away. I was kind of surprised that they did so. But obviously they saw some of the same thing, of a little bit of the one-sided approach as to the fact-checking and what they were willing to throw out as comments in the aftermath of comments that were made. But again, the burden is on Trump. You're the candidate. You got to write the record. If you're not able to do so and you start talking off the rails on this issue, it's kind of on you at the end of the day. No one should have the mastery of the topic more so than you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.